Welcome to another Monday Pro Volleyball Recap episode of the 5-1 Volleyball Podcast. As always, I'm Dan. I'm going to be your host today, bringing you around the different leagues of the world, giving you the stats, storylines, best performances, winners, losers, news, all the fun stuff that happened in this week of volleyball. So I like the new format that I started last week, got some good feedback on that. So I'm going to continue that. We're going to have our winners of the week, losers of the week, the best performances of the week, a bit of news, and finally, some Champions League previews because the quarterfinals for that are starting up this week. Exciting stuff. All right, so why don't we start with the news? There wasn't anything crazy this week. The biggest news, in my opinion, was probably Svetin Sokolov, legendary Bulgarian opposite. You guys probably know who he is, I'm assuming, if you're listening to this podcast, currently playing with Lubich Ivitanova, and that is where he is going to continue playing his volleyball until 2021. That's right, he's re-signed for 3 more seasons, so given his age right now, that will take him right about to the end of his playing career, or at least his playing career prime for sure. I think this is a good move for Lube. Sokolov is one of the best opposites in the world, an extremely competitive position, really athletic, really physical player, fits their play style well, probably the best blocking opposite in the world, which really helps Lube's team composition as they don't really have to have as good as blockers in the middles because they have Svetin Sokolov to compensate. However, it's not a move without risk. Sokolov, he's turning 30 this year, which is, you know, it's not old by any means. He still definitely could have a lot of years left, especially as you see tall opposites tend to age pretty well. But taking him to, he's going to be 33 in his last season of this contract. So again, not old by any means, but we've already seen that his body has started to break down. He was injured for a lot of the summer and the beginning of the season. So he definitely carries some risk in terms of injuries and whether that will affect him going forward. The next piece of news is that Roberto Piazza, the current coach of Skra Belchatov, who you will hear lots more about on this podcast, he is going to be the new coach of the Dutch national team, which is a pretty good gig right now. Netherlands coming hot off their really nice finish at the World Championships. They've got Namir Abdelaziz, who looks like he's going to be one of the biggest stars in volleyball for the next few years, at least, or at least he's being pushed as one of the next big stars. I think he'll get there. So good position for him to be in. I think Piazza is about as good as you could have hoped for if you were a Dutch player or fan. I'm sure he's going to do a great job. Really creative coach we've seen this season in Skra. He's pulled out some interesting lineups, including just a couple weeks ago when he played a roster with only one middle in a Champions League game and actually won the match, having his opposites and outsides switch time in the middle. So I'm excited to see what he can do with a roster. You know, Namir Abdelaziz can set. They have a few players who can go a few different ways, so it'll be interesting to see how a creative coach operates with such a diverse skill set in his roster. Speaking of Skra, Mariusz Wlażli, Polish volleyball legend and Skra legend, been there for 15 years, is finally back with the team after he'd been injured for most of the season. And he looked all right in his first game back. He got the MVP of the match against Gdansk today, even though, in my opinion, he didn't really have the best game. I think he only hit 42% with quite a few errors thrown in there. But, I mean, Wlażli is a legend. I understand why they give it to him. First game back, he's kind of been doing the Kobe Bryant retirement celebration tour this year, and hopefully he has a couple more stops left on that, even though there's not really that many more games left. Shalpuk continues his slow return back. We've seen him get in for serves and a couple small points before, but in the game against Gdansk today, he played most of the match, so that's good to see. Shalpuk kind of slowly easing back into it. No Kohanovski for Skra today, though, but we're seeing, you know, the real Skra lineup that they wanted to play with at the beginning of the season. We're finally starting to see it with Ibadapour, Shalpuk on the outsides, Kuba Kohanovski, Karl Kloch in the middle, Wlażli on the opposite position, Gregor's Lomaj setting, and Pajczaki libero. That's a pretty scary team. So we're going to talk a lot about Skra today, but that's all I'm going to say about Wlażli and Shalpuk back from injury. Probably still not going to see Shalpuk at 100%, but Wlażli will likely see full-time now. A couple minor player signings happened in the Italian league this week. One that we kind of suspected for a while was that Clemen Cibule, the Slovenian outside hitter, is going back to Milano. Him and Julio Sabi just finished a championship run with the Beijing Motors, so good job to them for winning the Chinese championships. We already saw Kevin Tilley. He was on the losing team and he went to Modena. Cibule is going to Milano, where he likely won't start but can give them an extra bit of oomph from the service line, or maybe come in if Mar or Cleveno are struggling. Yeah, Cibule, great offensive player. Definitely not as good of a player as Mar or Cleveno, in my opinion, especially because both of those guys are kind of both probably having their best pro seasons so far. But Cibule is definitely a better third hitting switch up option than Luka Basic was. And also, he played on Milano last year, so he's already familiar with Riccardo Spertoli's setting and can fit in quite nicely, even at this late stage in the season. And then I briefly mentioned his teammate. Of course, you know the guy who played on Modena last year, Italian volleyball legend Julio Sabi, was also on that Beijing championship team. And he's actually not going to the Italian Premier League. He's going to the Serie A2, which, if you're not familiar with European sports systems, if you come in last or second last or at the bottom of the first league, then you get demoted to the second league. It's not like in the NBA or NFL where it's the same 30 or so teams every year. You can actually lose your spot in the first competition if you're not good enough. And on the flip side, if you're one of the winners of Serie A2, then you can get promoted to Serie A1, which is what we saw happen to Siena last year and many, many, many teams over the years. So now, Piacenza already had Alessandro Fei, so with Julio Sabi, they could be the best A2 team of all time. And what I don't understand is Piacenza was actually a good team in Serie A1 last year. Obviously, the last half decade or decade, they've got players like Luciano De Cecco, Robert Landy-Simon, Alessandro Fei, and those are just a few. They've been quite a competitive team over the years. Apparently, they dropped down. I believe it was either because of arena size issues, you need a certain number of seats in your arena, or because of financial troubles, one of those two things, which it seems strange that they've made these pretty big signings, seemingly have a lot more money to spend, so maybe their owner kind of jumped the gun on lowering their sponsorship and now is feeling the effects of not being a Series A1 owner and wants to get right back, which they should be able to come in first, especially with Julio Sabi. I think their team was by far the best in A2 and would probably be better than a couple A1 teams too, if I'm being honest. So that was it for the major news stories of the week. There's been a lot of rumors regarding Zenit Kazan for the last few weeks. Sodan Sokolov was actually kind of rumored to go there before he decided to sign that contract with Lube. And both of the two young stars of Feikal and the Russian national team, Dmitry Volkov and Igor Kaliuka, are both rumored to, or are both being linked to Zenit Kazan, which makes sense. Any good Russian player is always going to have rumors that they'll go to Zenit Kazan just because of the pay and the prestige. But we'll see. We'll see if the young guys stay faithful or want to stick together or what happens. But Feikal's such a fun team. I hope they stick there together and eventually get the team to the point where they can maybe like steal a championship in the Russian league. That'd be great. Gets kind of tiring just watching the same few teams win every year. And now it's time for your winner of the week. I have a few nominations here. First up, Friedrich Schaffen, getting first place in the Bundesliga after they had a really tough start to the season. Well done. And if they can control their own destiny, if they win out, you know, Berlin Recycling Volley is actually doing very well recently too, with 7 wins in a row. Sergei Grankin seems to have upped the level of play of that team a lot. They've kind of found their footing. Both teams, well, different situations. Berlin is a team that always had the talent. I think they're still the most talented team in the Bundesliga, but seem to be playing way below expectations for most of the season and finally starting to figure out their optimal lineups and optimal play. Friedrichshafen, a team that always plays way above their heads. Still, I don't know how they keep doing it every year, but they always manage to play above their talent. It'll be very interesting to see if that continues to be the case with Vitzel Hainaut gone. Tours Volleyball Club from France won the French Cup 3-0 against Chaumont. Probably the biggest blow out of any of the cups we had. I believe they won 25-22, 25-13, 25-18. Tours, a lot of players that probably a lot of people who just follow the international side of the game wouldn't recognize because they don't really get the major stars from major countries, but they have guys who are really good players, maybe really good players of smaller countries, or just stars that know how to play within a system and just are really talented players, but not the biggest names, but still getting it done. So good job to them. Lubecki Vitanova had a really big game against Milano this week. Tight game. Easily could have lost that one, even though it was 3-1. All the sets were very close, but they took care of Milano, kind of made their lives a lot easier, kept them in the race for second place, I believe. And they are really starting to look like a team with a lot of playoff potential, potentially another second place medal, perhaps, make it 8 in a row. And I also have to give them a nomination because they re-signed Sveton Sokolov, great player. Hopefully they sign him to a good contract that gives them maybe an out if injuries occur, but good job for them for keeping the team together because it's a very good team. But the winner of the week, the official one, is going to have to go to Skra Belchatov for securing their spot in the Plusliga playoffs, getting back Vlajli and Shalapuk, getting their coach hired by the Dutch national team. Just a great job overall. They're in the Champions League this week. Things are looking a lot better in Belchatov than they did a few weeks ago. So this week, Skra had a couple of huge wins. A 3-1 win against Katowice to get those full three ranking points. That was huge because Katowice was sneaking up the standings. Definitely was a contender. And then a 3-2 win today against Gdansk, who's been playing pretty well recently. Actually was looking good that match. Maciej Muzaj, he is a monster. But Skra, they are pretty much guaranteed to make the playoffs now. They're actually in fifth place above of Zavrichi. So they're not even in last place. So that fourth place is actually really good because there's definitely a clear difference in the tier of just Strzepci, Vigil, and Versava versus playing Radom, who is in fourth place. As of right now, I would definitely take Skra in a series against Radom. And I'm sure those top three teams are sweating. None of them would want to play Skra in a semifinals match. I bet all of them are praying that they get a team that isn't Skra. However, with our winners, there's got to be losers. It wasn't too bad. There wasn't a lot of losers this week. It was mainly a week of winning in volleyball, which we're always winning when we're watching and playing volleyball. But here are my nominations for loser of the week. First, we got Katowice, who I just mentioned, but they had a chance. They could have done it. They've been playing a bit above their heads the whole year. Not a roster full of huge names for Katowice, but they play really well together. Thomas Rousseau has been absolutely sensational. The Belgian outside hitter is very good. Watch him carefully in the national team this summer. But right at the end, they could have really made Skra's life difficult with a win against them, but couldn't quite get it done. And the loss put Skra too far ahead of them. Now pretty much removes them for playoff contention as they are now 5 points behind the sixth place team. Siena gets their second consecutive loser nomination for loser of the week for another loss in 5 sets against Modena without Micah Christensen. And to be fair, it took Modena a lot of work to get past Siena. This could have been their chance, but this is their 10th. That's not an exaggeration. That's not hyperbole. They have lost 10 five-setters this year. Absolutely insane. I have to assume it's a Super League record. Maybe even a volleyball like league record in general. I just don't know how you get yourself in that many five-set loss situations and manage to lose every single one of them. And it's not like this is some scrappy group of semi-amateurs playing way above their level and making life tough for difficult teams. Siena was predicted to be a solid playoff team at the beginning of the season, given how talented the roster was with players like Maruf and Yuki Ishikawa and Yuri Gladger and now Simon Vandevoorde and Fernando Hernandez and all these guys are good volleyball players. And they must have like a mental complex about it at this point. Whenever it gets to a fifth set, I'm sure volleyball is a very mental game. So I'm sure they're just getting rattled, but that's not an excuse for a professional. And they could be so much higher. Even if they just won those 10 fifth sets instead of losing them, they would be in ninth place instead of 13th. So they're another nomination. But my loser of the week, this is a harsh one. This one's going to Kuzbass Kemerovo of the Russian League. But they're not getting this award for their play in the Russian League. They're getting it for the play in the CV Cup semifinals against Galatasaray Istanbul. Kuzbass won the first game at home fairly easily, 3-1. Honestly, I think the ones that they gave up, they shouldn't have. Kemerovo is a very talented team. They have guys like Lori Kerminen on my top 10 liberos list. Viktor Polatev, who would easily be the starting opposite of Russia, probably starting on a lot of national teams if he wasn't behind Maxim Mikhailov. Yaroslav Podlyshnik, Anton Karpukov, just really solid, like a lot of Russia like B-teamers other than Polatev. Igor Kobzar, like their team is really good. A lot of elite Russian talent. And they let Galatasaray Istanbul win 3-1 in Istanbul and take them to a golden set, which they lost. And it's not necessarily that they lost to a much less talented team. And by the way, Istanbul is not terrible. They have Oleg Antonov. They have Oliver Veno, who we'll get talk about a little bit more about later. Not a bad team by any means, but they aren't even leading the Turkish league, let alone competitive with the second place team in Russia. But that wasn't the case. Last, I believe it was Wednesday, in Istanbul, with Galatasaray getting the win over Kemerovo in that golden set, courtesy of just a ton of errors from Kemerovo, double-digit service errors, double-digit attacking errors, just a really sloppy performance, getting blocked, not passing well, just a lot of stuff that was under their control were mistakes they made. I don't know if it was playing in Turkey that was getting to them or what it was, but it was definitely a winnable game by Kemerovo, and not just winnable, like winnable by a lot, winnable comfortably, and they just let it slip away many, many times during the match, and that's why they are my ultimate loser of the week. And you guys know I'm a big stat nerd, so this is one of my favorite parts of the podcast, your performance of the week. One of the best performances of the week, one of my first nomination, Oliver Veno, the Estonian opposite, big boy, he's almost 7 feet tall, and he's kind of flown under the radar a bit despite being such a huge guy. I mean, Estonia struggles sometimes on the men's side because while they're a good team, they're not frequently competing at the most elite European level, but I think this is a bit of a coming out party for Oliver Veno. 30 for 59 hitting. Yeah, this is including the golden set, by the way. 59 sets, that's a huge set though. So it goes to show how much they trusted Veno with carrying their offense. 2 blocks, 32 points, and mainly just a big, big win. And he had a couple really good defensive plays. Not easy playing back row defense when you're close to 7 feet tall. Scared away a lot of outside hitters, even if he wasn't getting a huge number of kill blocks. He was touching the ball a lot, and opposing outsides were just terrified to go into him because he puts up a very big block. David Fiel, the Cuban middle, playing for Skra Beltatov this season, started in place of the injured Jakub Kochanowski, Skra's star player, and did a very, very impressive job in his replacement. 14 of 20 hitting with only one error, 70%, and obviously some of the credit of that has to go to Gregor Lomaj, but Fiel was doing a great job of finding the back of the court, scoring really well, wasn't bombing the ball, wasn't hitting it incredibly hard, but just playing really smart, finding his spots. That's what you like to see out of your middles when it comes to an attack, but a 14-kill game for middle, not easy to do. So well done to Fiel, especially because he doesn't see a ton of court time, just because Skra's other two middles are such big names in volleyball. So I hope he finds his own team this year. I think we've seen enough from him that we see that he can be a starter on a good team. But your ultimate performance of the week, it was a pretty easy choice this week. There was one performance that really, really stood out, and that was Ivan Zaitsev against Siena in that 5-set win. I think I only have to read one stat to you, and that's 9 aces. Just incredible. We've seen Zaitsev score plenty of balls from the service line, but 9 aces in one match is just incredible. The other 21 points he had this match came from 19 hits or 19 kills and 2 blocks. You know, Zaitsev, he's not like Wilfredo Leon. He doesn't go back and get aces like every other time he goes to the back of the line. I swear sometimes he won't get aces for like 2 matches, and then one set he'll get like 5 in a row. He's a very streaky server, but when he's feeling it, he is feeling it. Guy served at 134 kilometers an hour this year at Nations League. You know he can hit it hard from behind the 9-meter line. So well done to Ivan Zaitsev. Probably our best performance of the week so far. I mean, we've only had 2, but this is performance of the month definitely for Zaitsev. 9 aces is a really hard feat to do in volleyball. I think the last time I've seen someone get that many aces was last year when Irvin Engepet did a similar feat for Modena. So those are my picks for winner of the week, loser of the week, and best performance of the week. If you guys had different opinions on who you thought should have won each of those awards, I would love to hear it. If you comment either on Podbean or on the website 51vb.com, or just send me a direct message on something, I'll probably read it. Anyway, to finish the podcast, I would like to do some Champions League preview. If you didn't know, I actually work for the CEV. I will be working the games on Wednesday, doing some media stuff for them. So I will be watching the matches very intensely, but also not just because I work for them, because I just love volleyball, and it's going to be some fantastic games going on this week. So our first matchup happening at Tuesday at noon Eastern Standard Time is Lube Chivitanova versus Dynamo Moscow. Dynamo Moscow, you know, a team that has traditionally been very strong in the past. I don't think this iteration of the team is anything that Lube Chivitanova needs to worry about. They are pretty physical, but look at this Lube team. There's no way anyone can match them in physicality with Robert Landy-Simon, Juan Torena, Sokolov, Leal. Jeez, just reading those names. Really athletic, strong team. I think Lube should take care of business both at home and away. Shouldn't have trouble advancing to the next round. So my official prediction for Lube versus Moscow, 3-1, 3-1. Our next match is Gdansk versus Kazan, happening at Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you thought Lube versus Moscow was not going to be that close, this is an infinitely wider talent gap. So much so that I think there's a part of me that think Kazan won't even start their full lineup in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, because they might not need to beat this Gdansk team. By the way, is like 10th place in the Plus Liga. I don't know how they pulled qualifying for the final 8 out of their hat for Champions League, but they did it. So, I mean, kudos to them for doing it, but now they're probably finally going to get to the end of the road here. I would give their chances of beating Kazan like a 0.05%. About the same chance as Irvin Engepet coming to play in the NVA. So that being the case, I am predicting a 3-0 sweep, with the caveat that Gdansk may be able to take one set if Kazan chooses to rest some of their starters, which they very much might do. The next match is definitely by far the one I'm looking forward to the most, and that's Skra Beltsatov, our favorite team on the podcast today, versus Zenit St. Petersburg of the Russian League. And this match is happening at Thursday at 1 p.m. Beltsatov barely qualified for the final 8. It really just, it came down to like the last set of the entire group stage, I believe. Zenit St. Petersburg with Oriol Kemeho and Georg Grozier, a really strong team, doing very well in the Russian League this season. Gets a lot of aces, gets a lot of big bounces. Fun team to watch. But Skra Beltsatov, we haven't seen really their team at full strength very recently. Some combination of Shalpuk, Kohanovsky, Vlajli, and others have been injured throughout most of the season. So it's looking like they actually might have mostly a fully healthy lineup for this Thursday. So if they're able to start their full lineup, I might put Beltsatov as the better team than Zenit St. Petersburg. But I think this matchup could be so close. I really hope Skraw is healthy, because if Skraw isn't healthy, I don't think they can do it. But with that full lineup, they have a lot of really good players, a lot of Polish national team stars. So I'm saying Belchatov takes it 3-1 at home, and they lose 2-3 on the road, which means Belchatov will advance. That's my official prediction for them. And the last Champions League matchup of the week on the men's side. The women's side has some very exciting volleyball being played too. Actually, probably some much tighter matchups. But on the men's side, Chaumont versus Perugia, happening at Thursday at 3:30. Chaumont, we just saw them get their butts kicked by Tours Volleyball in the French Cup Finals. And guess who Perugia kicked the butt of in their own pool in Champions League? None other but the very same Tours Volleyball. So by transitive property, I don't think Chaumont will stand a chance. Perugia, double three bagels. Sorry, Chaumont. A lot of players I love on that team. Michael Seda, Blair Ban, Taylor Averill. I think they're a very good team. I think they deserved to get to the Champions League Final 8. They went through a very tough qualification process to get there. But Perugia, as we know, Wilfredo Leon, Luciano Dzeko, Alexander Atanasijevic, just the whole thing is very, very well done. So we have 1 out of 4 interesting matchups, but with so many uneven matchups, that just increases the odds that at least one of them will be an upset. So we have that to look forward to, I guess. The game of the week that will feature English commentary on Eurovolleyball.tv is Gdansk versus Kazan. So if you like a little English commentary in your games, that's the game I would watch. But if you're a fan of exciting in tight volleyball, probably Skraw Belchatov versus Zenit St. Petersburg would be the match to watch, or watch one of the Italian versus Turkey matchups in the Women's Champions League. Those will be very exciting too. Isabel Hayek, Paola Ganu, the 500 amazing players on the Istanbul teams in Turkey. That'll be exciting as well, so check that out too. And that's going to be it from me on today's podcast. I hope you guys learned a little something about what was going on in the world of pro volleyball today. The Champions League will probably be the main focus for the next 2 weeks, as the Polish and Italian playoffs are pretty much set in place. And in Russia and Brazil, we know who the main players are in those playoff races as well. So yeah, the focus is going to be on Champions League. I mean, everything's going to start heating up very quickly here as we get into the playoffs for all the major leagues. Right after, we have Nations League. It's going to be a very exciting few months of volleyball. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. And if you enjoy it, you know, maybe share it with your friends who like volleyball, your teammates from your clubs or your school or wherever you're listening to this from. If you like it, tell your friends about it. See what they think. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week.